And looking back on those days, I can understand that Satan would have had such joy and pleasure had I remained in the grips of such sin in my own heart. If I had remained with such anger and continued with such a poor grasp of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in many ways I think I had become in my own mind more saint than sinner, more self-righteous than Christ-righteous, more condemning of the sins of others than broken-hearted over my own. And one day I remember sitting at my desk, struggling while reading yet another account of the horrors of Japanese imperialism, and the Lord spoke into my heart the message of Colossians 1, asking me, "Weren't you also my enemy? Didn't you also crucify my son? And what good have you done to deserve my grace?" Just had tears in my eyes, sitting there stunned, silenced, and could understand again, graciously reminded of the depths of my own sin, but also to experience again the exhilaration of the beauty of the gospel that I could appreciate personally again in my own heart. The amazing gospel that God has reconciled to himself all things by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. That we who were alienated from God and were his enemies have been reconciled by Christ's body and presented before God as holy, blameless, without blemish, free from accusation. And I knew then that I could claim no human right to hate or accuse another. When God the Father, at the cost of his Son's innocent blood, set aside his absolute divine right to accuse and punish me justly and eternally for my sins. And I realized that I had no righteousness of my own to stand upon, nor do the Korean people or any person, whether victim or oppressor, that we can stand only by the grace of God on Christ alone. That there is none who is righteous, that there is no goodness of man that can earn the favor of God, or any evil of man that is insurmountable by the grace of God, that there is no purity or innocence in this world, not among the poor, not among the oppressed, not among young or old, that demand the favor of God. Nor is there a condemnation upon the oppressor, upon the enslaver, nor upon the crucifier that cannot be canceled by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So rebuked and restored by God, I could look afresh upon the cross of Jesus Christ and both be loved undeservedly and love others unreservedly, even those I had called my enemies, and could call them instead brother, sister, and friend. So God has graciously reminded me and our family, our team, of the power of reconciliation through the cross, and that it's not merely something to be received, that we have this personal conviction of our own sin and appreciation and reception of the grace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. But we are also reminded that we are to be messengers of reconciliation through the gospel, and that he has given that message to us to bring to the world. And I think Japan, you know, you've probably heard a lot about Japan from the Colburns and the Iversons. Japan, in many ways, is today a nation of human hopelessness. And this hopelessness is very much a reflection of its dark history. Like the 200,000 sex slaves during Japan's imperialist past, there are today 200,000 Thai and Filipino and other women who are, in some sense, modern-day sex slaves in Japan, having been lured there by the promise of high-paying jobs. It is very possible that the single greatest contributing factor to global human trafficking, in terms of the sex trafficking in the world today, the single greatest contributing factor to that is Japanese clients. As I mentioned earlier, there's a phenomenon in Japan called Enjo Kosai, which is basically a compensated dating or a form of teenage prostitution. 70% of kids in the schools are being bullied or bullying others. It has led to many young people who have committed suicide. Japan has one of the highest suicide rates in the world, with 30 children becoming fatherless every day because of suicide. So the Protestant church-going population in Japan is 0.21%. It's possible that maybe only one out of every 750 people in Japan are would be an evangelical Christian. You think about that famous, crossroads in downtown Tokyo, where there are like seven roads and people, 1,000 people crossing the road all at the same time. If you were to picture that scene, it's very likely that maybe only one person out of that whole crowd is a Christian. So, what can be done? What are we to think about Japan? I think first of all, people don't think about Japan. People don't think about Japan. Don't think about Japan as a need in terms of missions. Japan needs missionaries. Japan needs the gospel. I mean, they have Toyota. They have Wii. We envy Japan, right? But I think in some sense, we have allowed a very modernist mentality to kind of seep into and infiltrate into our Christian worldview, into our Christian perspective on life. And one way that that has kind of translated is that we have started to, kind of in the back of our minds, started to equate missions with the development of technology, with the advance of capitalism, with material wealth, this very modernist mentality, and we can only then equate missions with a certain visual image and a certain concept. And that has actually been very detrimental for us to understand the need of the gospel that hits the human heart, that sinners are in need of the gospel, and that the solution to some challenges in the mission field is not merely that they get fed and that they have advancement in technology, but that they are sinners in the need of grace and of the gospel. Just to put this in some contrast, so my background is in Korea. Japan is the largest unreached nation in the world. Korea has 9 out of the 10 largest churches in the world. Actually, not just that. 9 out of the 10 largest churches in the world are in the city of Seoul. Why? Why is it so different? Why is it so different? I think in one sense, interestingly enough, I think you could say that Japan is a Buddhist nation today because of Korea. Because of Korea. And the reason for that is that in 538, the Japanese government was asking to China and to Korea for Buddhist scholars and sutras and that they could teach them Buddhism, because they looked across the sea and saw two more advanced societies and thought it must be their religion. So the Kingdom of Paekje in Korea actually sent Buddhist scholars, sutras, etc., artifacts, and helped the Japanese to establish Buddhism in that nation. And interestingly enough, I think you could also say that Korea is a Christian nation today because of Japan. And it fits into the whole message that I preached earlier from Psalm 22. That God taught Korea the lesson of pain and suffering through Japan. And in and of itself, of course, it was not a blessing, not something to be desired, but it was a blessing. It could be used as a blessing because it taught the Koreans of their need for God. So God has called us to seek to bring the gospel to bear in that unreached nation of Japan. Certainly, especially to target and have give a voice to all of these social ills that we have in Japan, including the teenage prostitution. Japan is one of the only industrialized nations of the world today that where the possession of child pornography is legal. And I believe that has led to the exploitation of children, teenagers, teenage prostitution in Japan, and also the exploitation throughout other parts of Asia. I've been involved with the Lausanne movement since 2004. You can look it up online. But I was in Pattaya, Thailand in 2004 for the Lausanne Forum, and I met a woman there called named Patricia Green, and she leads a ministry called Rahab Ministries, and they rescue prostitutes off the streets in Thailand. And she said to me, 70% of the people who come into, of the tourists who come into Thailand are men. 70% of that 70% will participate in the sex industry. And the majority of those people are Japanese. And I said to her, I apologize. I'm not Japanese, but I apologize. I apologize on behalf of the Japanese people, and I apologize on behalf of the Japanese church that the church is not doing anything about such things. So there are these great social ills going on in Japan, and such gospel opportunities in these social ills. The problem is that, in many ways, the Japanese church is not meeting these, is not seizing these opportunities. The one word that I use to kind of describe the church in Japan is irrelevant. Irrelevant. The church in Japan is irrelevant in terms of society. We have all these great opportunities to bring gospel healing and hope and love to the nation, but the church is silent and irrelevant. And as you pray for Japan, you know, pray for the church, pray for the church. There are so many wonderful, wonderful Japanese believers, and perhaps you've had the opportunity. Some of you have been to Japan and have and had a chance to meet some of them. And honestly speaking, I think, I mean, you won't find a more gracious and wonderful Christian in the world. Japanese non-Christians are so much nicer, gracious, welcoming than most of the Christians that I know, honestly speaking. And in terms of even the Christians, I mean, it is grace and mercy that they would accept a sinner like me to minister in their country. It is grace and mercy. It's a privilege to be able to serve side by side with our Christian brothers and sisters in Japan. But the church needs to grow. And the church needs to change, and the church needs to seize its mission. The church needs to seize these gospel opportunities while there is opportunity. And, you know, as you pray for Japan, pray for God's work through the Christians and in the Christians. Can we advance to the next slide? This is a picture. That's my wife there, Pearl. She's also Korean. And here's a picture from that has some of our staff in it. We have a team that is, and some of our students as well are there. You might notice Rob Norris from Fourth Press in Bethesda. there, and he and Todd Smedley have taught in our seminary several times. And yeah, we're just really blessed to have the opportunity to make a small contribution to the training up of leaders in the church in Japan. Next slide. Our ministry kind of revolves around three or four different main areas. The core foundational ministry that we started from the very beginning was Christ Bible Seminary, and that is the bottom right-hand corner picture of a class there. And yeah, we felt the conviction that we needed to help train up leaders. I was in Japan in 98 and 99 with my wife, pre-kids, and asked everyone the same question, missionaries, pastors, leaders, like, what can be done? What can be done for this largest unreached nation in the world, what many missiologists would say is the most difficult mission field in the world? What can be done? And 100% of the people responded the same way. They said, we need to train up leaders. We need to train up leaders, people who will be the future leaders of the church in Japan. So we started with the seminary, and we are trying to do that. We're also trying to do that a bit more globally as well, especially in Asia. The bottom left-hand corner is a picture of me. We're in the city of Chengdu in China, doing training for underground church pastors there. And that's something that we're kind of doing on a regular basis. And but we felt that we needed to also be involved in giving model ministries. And the picture above is a church plant that we started about 2 years ago. It's called All Nations Fellowship. I always tell people we're kind of just practicing because everyone is a volunteer. We don't have any regular staff. We don't have our own location. We don't have advertising. We're in an inconvenient location, an hour outside the city. But God has been really just blessing. And kind of an average or typical church in Japan, maybe like 15 or 17 people. So we've been really encouraged and blessed. Our services are usually in the 50s and 60s, sometimes in the 70s. We've hit 100 people, two different services. And even though we're just practicing, we're ready to start into the second campus of our church plant. And the second campus will be in a location that will be, I'll explain very soon. Next slide, please. So God gave us a vision about 5 years ago to establish a safe space for young people in Japan. You know, we've been learning about, experiencing, seeing the pain that young people are experiencing in Japan and the hopelessness that there is. There are young people in Japan who, it's called something called hikikomori. Hikikomori are basically young people who have withdrawn from society. So these are young people who, like they, especially young men, they will sleep all day. They never leave their, hardly will ever even leave their rooms. They'll sleep all day, and at nighttime they'll play video games, look at pornography. If they do anything to go out, they will go out to a local convenience store, grab some cup of noodles, and maybe some more pornography. There are today in Japan 1 million young men who are hikikomori. 1 million young men. It is unbelievable. It's staggering. It's almost 1% of the population, 2% of the male population in Japan. So we have all these various social ills going on, especially in the heart of the city. And we said, Lord, grant to us the opportunity to be a safe space in the heart of the city of Nagoya. And, you know, again, we were an hour outside of the city, and we thought, this is impossible. How could this ever happen? But we felt the conviction to pray for it and to work towards it. And then God showed us this property. And this was 1 year ago, or a little bit more than 1 year ago, about 16 months ago. And this is three stops away from Nagoya Station. In Japan, everything runs on public transportation. And everyone, all of society runs on public transportation. This is three stops away from Nagoya Station and a five-minute walk from there. And we thought, this is an amazing opportunity. It's right on the largest road in Nagoya. And just to put this in some perspective, Like if you had like a kind of a normal table, like the table that our materials are on outside there, like if you had a table that's 5 feet by 7 feet, it's about this area right here. During the bubble in Japan, during the real estate bubble, which popped about 20 years ago, during the real estate bubble, the land that that is sitting on, one table worth 5 by 7 cost $100,000. $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, $1,000,000. That space that I just walked over. So there was a part of us that was saying, Lord, why would you give us a vision and a burden for something that is humanly impossible? Then we heard about this property, and it sits on land that is 60 of those tables, and then the building itself, so the total value of that, I mean, it's probably not much more than this stage. The total value of building and land was more than $8 million. And the sale price was $1.3 million. And that's a huge sale. That's a huge bargain. But still about $1.2 million more than any campaign that we had ever been involved in. So we said, why, Lord? But basically what we did was we entered into prayer. And we called the church to pray. 90 days of prayer, and many of us were fasting in different parts of it, and God was so gracious. John Piper blogged about it, the Gospel Coalition blogged about it. I got an email out of the blue from Joshua Harris, and he said, I heard about your ministry, I'm half Japanese, I don't know if you knew that, he said. And he said, is there anything I could do? And I said, oh, would you just blog about this vision? And by day 82, God had provided $1.3 million. And then the next day, the property was gone because the business went bankrupt and the court seized the property. And we said, Lord, what's going on? And the next slide, the next Monday, we found out about this property. An even larger property. The land is 2.5 times the size of the other property. The building is, the first building was 8,500 square feet. This one is 9,600 square feet. And it has 2 parking lots, one on the side, one in the back as well. And we thought, and best of all, it's not 3 stops away in a 5-minute walk from Nagoya Station. It's a 4 to 5 minute walk from Nagoya Station. But we thought for sure, this is going to cost unbelievable amounts of money. During the bubble, this property was worth probably easily $20 million. Tomorrow, we will receive keys on this property and we'll finalize our payment in Japan for $1.2 million. God is amazing. God can do anything. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can put those cattle on sale. God can do anything. God is amazing. And it's been an unbelievable privilege to be able to just live through this journey. And the first floor of this ministry center is going to house the Heart and Soul Cafe. And that cafe is going to be a youth outreach ministry that is going to be the fulfillment of this dream for a safe space, a place where young people can come and be safe physically, emotionally, relationally, sexually, and spiritually safe in the gospel, in Him. And we'll have a chance to do arts and media. We'll have a chance to have coffee and tea and counseling and language classes and a chance to study the Bible, receive prayer. It will, Lord willing, be a safe space for young people in the heart of the city. Second and third floors will have church planting going on, the second church plant of All Nations Fellowship, or the second campus for us. Third floor, second and third floor, also the seminary into the fourth floor as well, library space, etc. And yeah, we're just really very, very excited for how God is going to use that place. So the miracle is, the point is not just the getting the building, it's what's going to happen inside it and how God is going to work through it. We do ask for your prayers, however. We raised all the funds by May, and since May, the dollar has gone from 95.5 yen to about 81. And that has resulted in that the funds raised losing the value of about $200,000. So we have enough funds to purchase the building. Tomorrow we will send the rest of the funds to purchase the building and we'll receive the keys. But the $200,000 that we needed to repair and to renovate the building have all fizzled away with the lost exchange rate. So we ask for your prayers that, I mean, God who did the first two big miracles that can do the small third miracle that's needed. So we ask for your prayers that God would just, again, provide, and that we would learn through that provision and through the prayers and through the waiting, and that this space will become the light that God intends it for it to be. Next slide. There's another picture from the side in the back parking lot as well. And then one more picture, one more slide. And that's from the roof of the building. And just you can just see there on the left side, that's Nagoya Station. And on the right side, that's the Toyota building. That's the Toyota building. Maybe one more slide. Is there another slide or not? No, there's not. So I'm going to close soon just to allow for some time for questions. But let me read from 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is the message that has been given to you. That is the message that has been given to this church. That is the blessing, unbelievably undeserved mercy and grace. I mentioned before, you have this in Korea, you have this in Japan. Why? Why is there a difference? Why weren't you born in the slums of New Delhi? Why weren't you born as a son of a Shinto priest? Why? But by the grace of God, it was nothing that you did. Think about the blessedness of your circumstances. Think about how blessed we are to be able to read this passage and understand this means us. It has to do with us. And if you had been born as the son of a Shinto priest or in the slums of New Delhi, how would you want the people in this room to respond? Thank you so much for the joy and privilege that it is to just be able to share some of this gospel hope and God's word with you all. Let me just open up a bit for some time of question and answer. I think we have some time. If anyone wants to ask anything at all, go ahead.
Since I'm right by the mic.
Sure.
Is it working? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious, in this culture and in the experience, this one out of 750, if you've had conversions from the business, this businessman, this very dark, intense businessman, father, have you seen conversions at all, any? And if so, is there anything that can be characterize those conversions and those experiences?
Yes, we have seen those. I kind of describe the businessmen as an unreached people within an unreached people. They are one of the most difficult groups and populations to access, and that makes it very, very challenging. The typical pattern is that the way businessmen are reached is that their wives are reached. And the way that their wives are reached is that their children are reached. And then the children are brought into the church through, you know, service activities, ice cream parties, English classes, and things like that. So that tends to be the typical pattern. And that pattern could take 10 or 15 years to kind of properly unfold. I don't think it's a long-term solution to reaching businessmen in Japan. I think the longer-term solution is that we need Christians who are in the business world. You know, I often say that there's not a single job in, there's not a single profession that you can't do in the mission field. It doesn't matter what you are, architect, you know, engineer, businessman, you know, whatever else it might be, that missions oftentimes can be something as simple as, I will do my job and I will live as a Christian where there are no Christians. And I have a hope and prayer that you'll have more tent-making missionaries who will go and be businessmen in Japan. And it's a tough challenge. The other way that we're trying to work in that is that we are hoping in 3 to 5 years, our ministry, to start an undergraduate university. And one of the two majors, one will be Christian studies and the other will be kind of an English communication / business major. And I don't, you know, the problem in Japan is access, having access to young people. And what happens oftentimes is you have these campus groups that want to kind of go and infiltrate a campus, right? And then kind of pick off people little by little. It's very difficult because in Japan, everything runs on the circle. You are either outside that circle or you are inside that circle. If you are outside that circle, you don't exist. If you are inside that circle, you exist. And ministries have always kind of ministered from the outside. Hey, come on out. It's like, why would I go out there? So what we're going to be doing is we're going to create a circle and we're going to invite people inside. And in Japan, like the school relationship is lifelong. It's so strong. So we'll invite Christians and non-Christians inside, get a chance to train them, and Lord willing, to help train up a generation of Christian businessmen who can then go, you know, 5 minutes away from where we would possibly be located, and be there at the Toyota building or in Toyota City as well. So that's one of the toughest populations in Japan. We have seen change, but it's going to take a longer term, kind of more foundational solution, I think. Next question. You don't have to come up front if you want to yell it out. Yes. There is a possibility. As a general rule over the past couple of years, we've kind of bucked the trend, which is that we have asked people to commit to at least 1 or 2 years. And if you want to come work with our ministry, it takes time to build relationships. It takes time to build trust. And we're asking for people to, you know, commit to that. On occasion, we've allowed someone to come like for 2 months in preparation towards that 1 or 2 years. But, you know, we need people. Like, we'll need staff who will come and man the cafe, you know, and help out, you know, building relationships with young people. And we need people all the way from you know, PhDs to teach in the seminary, to church planters, to church administrators, finance people, technology, coffee baristas, you know. So, you know, even in our ministry, there's a lot that most people would be able to do, but it will take some level of commitment. Living arrangements, most singles, you know, will try to have guys living together, girls living together as close to the new ministry center as possible, hopefully walking. We're not sure yet because we're just getting keys tomorrow. Families tend to be at least somewhere out further along the train line where it's still accessible. We are not Tokyo, thank God, because, I mean, you know, an apartment in Tokyo, two-bedroom apartment can cost $5,000 a month. So for us, we can, in our area, get a two-bedroom apartment for about $800 a month. So Nagoya is much more reasonable. And that was one of the kind of the providential things, I think, in terms of us being able to establish there, to be able to get a $20 million for 1.2 rather than have like a $200 million thing and not have $20 million to be able to buy it. Contact Mission to the World. Tell them you're interested in working with CBI, the CBI team, and begin the process and explore. Yes. We're a small seminary. We're a small and new seminary. The largest seminary in Japan has about 40 students. Our goal is not to be 41. We have 17 master's students enrolled in master's degrees. I think we have 3 non-Japanese students, one from India, one from Myanmar, and one from America. We tend to encourage our team members, all of our team members, to take courses, like one course per year or per semester, so that they can get their training. Some are working towards degrees, some are not. We could have 2 to 3 times as many students if we were to open the door to more non-Japanese, but we think it's going to overwhelm our Japanese students. So, but we think the few students that we do have are a good contribution, you know, good influence on our Japanese students. Yes.
You can hear me. I work with a Japanese girl, Tomoko Ashai, and we've made friends. I did an April Fool's joke on her, and she actually took it well. We had a good laugh. She was in our home with Ree and Craig, and they're moving on to Chicago now. He is getting a better job. If you would tell me one thing to leave with her, because I feel like I haven't made a strong inroad. Her father died. We talked about death. And I didn't feel... when she came over here, she was sponsored by a church, mm-hmm. so she did have some Christian background, but still seems to be very much... centered on her dad, seeing an animal in her father becoming, or I don't know what the happens, right. what they think after death, but right. I haven't made any inroads with Christ and salvation. So what yeah. could I leave with her as she goes to Chicago?
The basic thing would be a Bible, obviously, but the most important thing would be your continued relationship. Japanese are unbelievably just faithful friends. A friend that is established over a week, they will hold on to these friendships for the rest of their lives. So to continue that, continue contact, continue care, continue to suggest, there are actually two, at least two, three Japanese congregations in Chicago. Would you please go and visit one of them? And because you use some of that relational capital in a certain sense, where they say, well, I care about this person, so I want to listen to what she asked. And, utilize the relationship, continue it, nurture it, find ways to connect in Chicago, have a Bible. I have some messages online from our Heart and Soul Outreach. It's a quarterly outreach in downtown Japanese, and it's bilingual, English and Japanese, on like basic topics like love, work, money, sex, hope, joy. And some of them are available online. So on the brochure that's out there, on the back it has my email address. And just email me or just Google or look it up. You'll find it. It's on sermonaudio.com. Yes.
Hey there. So I'm a photographer by trade.
Yep.
So as a photographer, going to Japan would seem superfluous just because of the whole fact that most of my cameras are made in Japan. So I figured, as someone who's had close relationships with the Colburns and that noisy kid up there, Costanzas.
Something's wrong.
No, nothing.
He sees dead people.
Sorry. I'm just thinking, as a photographer, how could I be of benefit to someone in Japan? Because it seems, like I said, I'm superfluous.
Uh-huh.
Although, I am really outgoing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's already a photographer who's come to me and said they want to come sometime, like, and just take pictures of, like, young people.
But I'm better.
Oh, you're better. Come take pictures in the city. And take pictures of kind of the life of young people and kind of their faces, hope, discouragement, hopelessness, all of that. And we hope we'll have, arts and media in our, in our cafe space. So to have photography, actually this one person said what they would do is they would kind of open up a class opportunity and young people could come sign up and they would have assignments and they would go out to explore the different parts of the city and take pictures and talk about the stories and everything. As, actually as an outreach to non-Christians. Like, why did you want to take this picture? What did it mean to you? Like, what does hope mean to you? And then to use that as an outreach. So it can serve a ministry in terms of something like photography, and I'm sure it could help the Colburns and others, and taking pictures of them and their ministry and work, family, etc. But also as an outreach ministry as well, because arts and photography is such a medium of expression, and young people are looking for ways to express themselves, and sometimes that is an expression of pain, it's an expression of desire for hope, etc. So I think there'd be lots of ways to do so. Yes. Yeah. That would be possible. We are taking, officially, I think the internship's supposed to end at like 11 months, but we kind of cheat because it's the hoops are less and it tends to get people to the field quicker. Let me also let you know that there's a new program with MTW called EDGE. And EDGE is kind of like finally MTW realizing like young people are a little bit different and want to, want to live in like someone's house, like a homestay, rather than, have their own place, and want to like have a subway pass instead of a car, and want to, have to do something more edgy. So that's something you can inquire about with MTW, about the EDGE program, and so we're always looking for the right people to fit, and there are four teams, now in Japan. So some great opportunities to influence in Japan. Are we okay? Last question, or do we need to finish up? Where's Robbie? Oh, okay, yeah. He's going to push me off.
No, I won't push you in the pit. We do want to pray for you, though. Before we do, Michael will be here for a few minutes out in the lobby, and we'll let you know he's here for another, how much longer?
Until July or so. Yeah, out on the table also, if you want to just get our regular prayer email updates, just go ahead, there are some sheets out there, sign your name and put your email down, and we'll keep you updated.
Yeah. And they are actually raising support, so if that's something you're interested in, the information is back there. You can also talk to one of the members of the task force who can put you in touch with him as well. But I think the best line would be to just sign up for his information and directly get in touch with him. regarding that. So let me pray for you and we'll
Please. Take
off. Father, we praise you for Christ and what a privilege it is to labor for you. Father, we thank you for the O family and just hearing what you've done in their lives, the impact they've already made in Japan. And God, I pray that you would provide all the financial needs that they have. Father, I pray that you would provide the laborers they need to start this new work. God, that you would send the businessmen and teachers and many people to come and not just labor for a short time, but God, just to invest their lives in the kingdom in Japan. God, we are, again, just privileged to be laborers for you, and we are undeserving of any of your grace. But God, we thank you for what you've done in each of our lives. We pray again that you would work in the O family, work in Japan, and do amazing things in and through them. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
If you have a child, we probably need to pick them up quickly and